My own one too? Can you hear me all? Can you hear me all right? Great. Happy Palm Sunday. Woo! Exciting, exciting times. We talk about what is this all about. So we are delving into the Old Testament this morning. Left-hand side of the book. Just look at it. I know, sarcasm does get the best of me. So we're going to read Exodus chapter 6, 6 to 8. And so, we obviously, Easter's coming up, and what is Easter all about? Well, Easter all points to the, so the Old Testament always points to the New, yep, and the New leads the Old Testament, not the other way around, all right? So it's always helpful to know. So, and it's the Old Testament here that we're going to talk about that points to what Jesus did on the cross. Amen? How does that sound? Amen. So I tell you what, some people start off with a prayer, but I just want to start off with a praise. So it's called Holy Spirit Rain Down, and it just goes something like that. May the song just bless your heart, because tell you what, we need the Holy Spirit, don't we? Amen. Amen. So can I just encourage you? So look, you know who Spurgeon is? You heard of Spurgeon? So Spurgeon was the boy teenage preacher. He ended up preaching in a place called the Tabernacle in London. 10,000 people saved, yep, serving God. But he didn't start there. Did you know that? So he's an Essex boy, got saved in Essex, so not too far from where we are. But his first church was Water Beach. So how many people know where Water Beach is? Water Beach, you've been to Water Beach? Water Beach isn't very big, is it? No, a very smallish town, kind of like this town. Yep. So guess how many people were there at his first church? 400 people. So 400 people. Yeah. That's quite, especially back in that day. You think that, yeah, that's right. So I say these things because you know what? We're in a small community here. Yep. We find ourselves in a small gathering, small group of people. But you know, God is the same God. The same God that Spurgeon served is the exact same God that we serve. And there's no reason why there can't be 400 people here for these towns and villages, because God wants to see people saved. Amen? Amen. And we got the power of the Holy Ghost, don't we? Yeah. Amen? So this is how the song goes. It goes, Holy Spirit, rain down, rain down. Let your power fall, let your voice be heard. Come and change our heart as we stand on your word. Holy Spirit, rain down. We just pray that your Holy Spirit just rain down this morning upon the saints that you just love so much. Fill us, Lord God, because we are empty, Lord God, and need filling up. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, we're going to talk about the Exodus. Yep. And we're just going to just do some recapping of what's happened, what has brought us here to this point of Exodus. You know, where famous Moses says, let my people go. And obviously, Pharaoh wouldn't let his people go. But there's a bit of scenario is how did they get there? So Joseph gathered Israel and his family to go to Goshen. So Goshen was a beautiful place. It was the nicest place in all of Egypt. There was a great famine in the land. Seven years of plenty, 7 years of famine. 7 years of famine. His dad, his 11 brothers, 70 people in all, just 70, came back to Egypt. Cut the long story short, Joseph prepared a nice place for him in the land of Goshen, which was beautiful. But what happens is, the Pharaoh that was once after Joseph died wasn't kind to the Israelites after that. And so he enslaved them for 400 years had passed. 400 years. And so why 400 years? So if you live in a nice place, yep, you got a nice house, you got a nice job, community is great. You wanting to leave that nice place is a quite, you know, you're like, I like Egypt. Yeah, leeks and onions down by the Nile. You know, oh, what breath, but dining out in style. You can, you know. They get to like Egypt, don't they? So you got to make them feel uncomfortable. And sometimes I find that in the situations we find ourselves, sometimes God makes us feel uncomfortable because he says, you know what, this isn't the place for you. I want you to go. And so that's what happened here. And so Moses, so we got two characters, Moses and Pharaoh. Yep, two major characters, two major players in our story. So who is this guy Pharaoh? So Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, will first reject God altogether. We'll see that. And then respond to the initial demonstration of God's power. When even the tricks of his magician cannot duplicate the plagues against his people and property, Pharaoh will try to avoid God through procrastination. Yeah, put it off until tomorrow. Compromise and insincere repentance. Okay, I'm sorry, but he's not sincere enough. With each attempt at resisting God, Pharaoh's heart grows harder and harder till he is unmoved even by the death of his own people. So that's who Pharaoh is. Pharaoh's a bad character. Yep. It's a good story. Some people, when they say they're sorry, they're not really sorry. Procrastination gets every single one of us, don't we? Kind of represents, we can see ourselves in the character of Pharaoh, unfortunately, if we just look hard enough. I remember there was a preacher. He was dying, teenager, 17 years old. Famous Pentecostal preacher, actually. He was dying of tuberculosis. He was going to die the next day. The doctor showed up and said, look, you are going to die. You're not going to see breakfast in the morning. And so God spoke to the young man. Mom was saved. Dad was not. And God spoke to him. He says, I want you to preach. He says, if you don't preach, he says, you're going to die. And so him being a Southern boy didn't have the time to procrastinate about the answer. He had to make up his mind. And so that evening, he said, Lord, I'll preach. And when it answered to the call of God in his life, he got miraculously healed and woke up. Mom expected to see a dead boy, says, I want breakfast, grab eggs, ham, bacon, the works. Yep. And he said, what happened? Says God. So he told Mom the story. He said, okay, I'm going. He says, where are you going? He said, I'm going to my preaching. I told God I was going to preach. So, fascinating story. So he gets his friend, gets along the car. Car goes so far, breaks down, goes to see a barn. He says, okay, this is where it is. So he preaches his first sermon. He says, look, God told me to preach. I don't like you guys, really don't love you. I'm just obeying God because that's what God told me to do. So I'm just preaching. So people would get saved. Hundreds of people get saved. And you call the local congregation and say, look, you need to get a pastor here. And because you got about 50 people are here saved that love Jesus. And so he would do that. And, you know, and he wouldn't change his story until about a year onwards. But talking about procrastination, it's a good story. It's a true one. But procrastination, we put off the things of God when God says, you know, I've called you. Yeah, I've called you too. And he's waiting for us to respond, for sure. Okay, so Moses, let's take a look at Moses. Moses, God's chosen prophet. Significance of Moses. Moses is a central figure in the Bible. Yep, Moses and Jesus are the two main central figures. If people don't know about Jesus, they normally know about Moses. And he's known for leading the Israelites out of slavery and receiving the Ten Commandments, significantly impacting faith and history. So the early life and identity, he was raised in Pharaoh's palace. So Moses was a Jew. And what happens is that the Pharaoh issued a decree to kill all males born in the Jewish, because Jewish camp was expanding, and he wanted to curtail that because they were being a mass of people. Some righteous folks went up, you know, Moses in the basket. That's where you get Moses in the basket from, isn't it? Ferried on, and what happens is, the Pharaoh's family saw that, and then he went off into Pharaoh's camp. So that's how we got there. Until he went off and saw one of his peoples, being beaten, and then Pharaoh, Moses killed the guy who beat his people, and then he thought it was done in secret, but he got caught out and said, okay, it's time for him to go. So he goes to the desert for 40 years. God calls him to let his people go. So now we're at read Exodus chapter 6, verses 6, 8. And this is what God says to Moses. And he says, therefore, say to the Israelites, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will free you from being slaves to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and a mighty act of judgment. I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God, who brought you out from the yoke of the Egyptians. And I will bring you to the land I swore with uplifted hand to give you to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it to you as a possession. I am the Lord. So, that's how it all starts. So we have the 10 plagues, and then start happening. So what's the difference? Why 10 plagues? You ever wonder why 10? Maybe when I read, I think, why 10? You know, why not 12? Why not 15? Why not 22? You know, why 10? So 10 is a significant Bible number. It represents the fullness of quantity. So the 10 Egyptian plagues means completely plagued. It's just as the Ten Commandments become symbolic of the fullness of the moral law of God. Yep. So we have Ten Commandments. We don't have 20. We don't have 352. We just have Ten Commandments. And it's symbolic of the fullness moral law of God. So when Ten Commandments are given, he says, this is who I am. That's why they are there. So the ten ancient plagues of Egypt represent the fullness of God, expression of justice and judgment upon those who refuse to repent. Yep. How many of you know that there's a judgment coming? Yep. We're all going to stand before God. And for those that aren't saved, they're going to be judged for their deeds of lawlessness. Yep. They're going to be judged because they don't know Jesus Christ. Yep. When we stand before judgment, we're going to be judged for what we've done with Jesus. Our judgment is different. Yep. What we did for Christ. Yep, because Jesus Christ paid the penalty for our sins. But the sinner, the unrepentant, they do not have that. Yep, so they will be judged according to what they have done. But we'll get more on that. So, the Lord God of heaven wanted Pharaoh and all of Egypt to know that there's only one true God of heaven. That was the aim and the purpose of this. The Israel also need to know that who God was. So, you know, they've lived 400 years in Egypt, haven't they? So living 400 years in Egypt, the one identity of who God is kind of wanes. You know, they start adopting the Egyptian gods. So God, twofold. One is to prove the Egyptians that, you know, I'm the Lord God. And also to prove Israel that he is who he says he is. So this way they could know him. So the 10 Egyptian plagues not only demonstrates the power of God to Moses and the magnitude for generations to remember what that is, the whole world, but also to testify that, you know, there's a salvation in Christ Jesus. So Hebrews 12:2 says this, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. In Acts 4:12, salvation is found in no one else, for there's no other name under heaven given unto mankind which can be saved. So here you have it. You have a society that believes there's many ways to get to God, there's many gods. You have today's society, they believe in atheists, it's just a religion. Yep. If people tell you it's not, they're lying through their teeth. Yep. They don't believe in God. They believe in other things. They believe in their pop stars. But they don't believe in God. Kind of like today's society, isn't it? So, and the Bible claims there is no other name under heaven which man can be saved except for the name of Jesus Christ. Yep. So, as you know, I am an evangelist, so when I see people wear the cross, I ask them, do you know what that means? Because a lot of people just wear the cross because it just looks nice. Yep. For some odd reason, it's the death thing, really. If they really knew what it was. It's a murder thing. Oh, no, I didn't know that. Yep. I say, you know, that cross is an offense. And I hardly ever start that Jesus loves you. I always start with the cross as an offense because it takes them by surprise. I say, what do you mean it's an offense? I said, it's an offense because it means there's something wrong with you and me. Yeah? Because if Jesus didn't die, you know, there's a purpose. He died for a reason. If there was nothing wrong with me and you, Jesus wouldn't have to die on the cross. True? Yeah. So, it's an offense. It's an offense because there's something wrong with you and me. Yeah. And you're like, oh, that kind of piques their interest. So what's that thing that is wrong that made Jesus die on the cross? And why is it an offense? Because it's an offense because it tells you there's something wrong with you, and that thing is sin. It's an offense because we don't think we're sinners. It's an offense because we think we're all right. We think we're good people. We think we're, you know, I'm a good person. Yep. But your good deeds don't save you. Yep. That's what the cross is for. Yeah. And that's why people get offended. So that's a good place to start if you ever find yourself, especially this season, to share the gospel message. So the 10 plagues. So what do the 10 plagues represent? You know, we read the plagues, don't we? You know, there were 10 of them. So the plagues, and we're going to go through each 10 of them, it represents the gods of Egypt. Yeah. So like plague number one, we'll go through the plagues now. Plague number one, the blood. So the Egyptian god of the Nile was called Hapi, H-A-P-I. I don't know if he's really happy or not. Don't know. But he was the god of water. So when God turned the water into blood, he was saying, I am the god of the water, not this god Happy. Yep. Does that make sense? Ooh. For 7 days, the waters throughout the land of Egypt remained in this state, unsuitable for drinking, the perfect length of time to demonstrate that the Lord was superior to all the gods of Egypt. So plague two, the plague of frogs. About. So there is another guy called, he was called Heket. He was the Egyptian god of fertility. And he had a frog. He had a head of a frog. I don't know. Who conjured that one up? You know what I'm saying? Like, okay, I want to make a god. I'm going to put a frog on his face. I don't know. So still Pharaoh refused to let his children go after this. And of course, the frogs came and plagued all of Egypt. So plague number three, lice. Yep. So this is where the sand was scooped up and was turned into lice. So the Pharaoh, the Egyptian god of Geb, G-E-B, of the earth, the Egyptian god of Geb, he was over the dust of the earth. So here, God orchestrates. He says, look, this is to your God of the earth. I am the God of the earth. Yeah, he is Lord of all. And so he produces lice to invade all of Egypt. And then there's the swarm of the flies, plague number four. So this is Khepri, or Hepri, K-H-E-P-R-I. The Egyptian god of creation, movement of the sun, rebirth. The Egyptian god had the head of a fly. I know. And they began great. And so in this miracle here, you understand. So plague number four became the separation of that which was the Egyptians and that which was Israel. Because the plague of flies that hit only hit the Egyptians. It didn't hit anybody in Goshen. So therefore, at this point, God says, look, there's a separation. These are my people. You are not my people. So, and we see at plague five, you know, Pharaoh tried a new tactic to begin bargaining with the Lord, showing his desires to maintain power, authority over God. And can I tell you something? So, you know, you can't bargain with God. don't try bargaining with God. You know, it's amazing. When God tells you to do something, people will try to make you compromise what God tells you to do. Okay? It's just human nature. Sometimes they have the best interest in mind. Sometimes they don't. So, Old Testament story, God told the prophet, he says, look, when you go back, don't visit anybody. Don't stop on your way back. He says, you just head back. But there was an old prophet that said, oh, why don't you come in my house and have a drink? Yep. And so he did. He disobeyed what God said. Yep. The old prophet probably had good intentions. Yep. Nice guy. Well, obviously he disobeyed God and he died because God told him not to. It's a bit extreme. One is, you know, God knows what's best for us. He's got plans and purpose for your lives. When we disobey God, we settle for things that are second best. Yep, always second best. And God only wants what's best for us. Does that make sense? Yep. So when God calls you, so God's called me to England. When I got called to England, my mom wasn't too excited about that. She said, her words, son, there's people in US of A that needs to be saved. Sounds nice, doesn't it? Sounds all right. It's true. Yep. But it's not what God called me to. Yep. It's not what God said, I need to be in my place, which is England. Yep. So look, when you get a word from God, and you know that this is what God wants you to do, don't deviate from it. Yep. Just kindly, politely say, you know, like I told Mom, I said, you know, family members break your heart. Bless them with cotton socks. I said, well, Mom, God's told me to come to England. I'm staying in England. And she goes, well, I just don't understand, son. And I was thinking to myself, well, it's not for you to understand. You know, some things you think, some things you don't say. Amen? So I said, yes, Mom, I understand, you know, blessed, but this is what I'm saying. So plague five. The livestock killed. And this is the Hathor, Egyptian goddess of love, protection, and protection. Usually the Egyptian goddess was depicted with the head of a cow. Lovely, wasn't it? So here we go. We see it. This plague was given advance warning, allowing a period of repentance to occur, which goes unheeded. So once again, he says, look, this is another god. Yep. I am the God, yeah, that you should fear. And he gives them time to repent, but they don't repent. The sixth, boils and sore is the plague. Isis, the Egyptian goddess of medicine, peace. That's who that is. You ever heard of the god of Isis? That's one of those famous Egyptian ones, isn't it? Yep. So being instructed, the Lord Moses took ashes. Moses took ashes from the furnace of affliction and threw them into the air. As dust from the ashes blew all over Egypt, it settled on man and beast alike in the form of boils. And the magicians couldn't produce the same thing. You see, so you got to understand. So I want you to make you understand that there's three powers in this world. Yep. There's God's power. There's the devil's power. And then there's man's power, yeah, the soul of man. Those are the three. So here we have it. When you read the story, because we don't have time, but you see, the magicians had power up to a point. You know, when Moses' staff turned into a snake, the magician's staff turned into a snake also. Moses' staff ate the other snakes up. Point taken. But you got to understand, you know, the demonic power. You know, the Bible says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against the powers of darkness, don't we? Yeah. So, you know, when you're at work and you say, oh, that boss, you know, is terrible, you know, and you're afraid. One, you don't have to be afraid. Two, he's not really your enemy per se because we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Yep. We wrestle against the power of darkness. Yeah, and God gives us the strength to overcome. We're not doormats. So meekness is power under control. Jesus was meekness. Sometimes when I say, well, look, when people cuss and swear at me at work, yeah, I just say to them, look, you know what? I don't get paid enough for that. not some doormat that you can just walk over. Yep, I just simply don't get paid enough for that. And that usually just stops that right there. Yep. So as Christians, we have the right to be bold. Amen? Amen. So be bold. I love it. I think a lot of, so this is Christianity today. I think Christianity today is just full of weakness. Yep. No backbone, no spine, no, you know, inability. But God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and of sound mind. It's time for us to rise up and be the people that God has called us to be. Amen? Amen. We don't have to stand up for a lot of things. We do, unfortunately. But that's not the God of the Bible. Not the Word of God. Amen? So, let's go to plague number 7, Nut, the hail. He was the Egyptian god of the sky. So again, a warning given before the enactment of the plague takes place. Pharaoh's warned of the pending doom and will be faced if he does not listen to the Lord and forget his own Egyptian gods or goddess. So hail got rained down upon the earth. So this way he would know there's none like God. Yeah. He is the God of the sky, the heavens, and the earth. And once again, it rained on the Egyptians and not on the Jews. So then we got plague 8, locust. Locust is the Egyptian god called Seth, and he was the god of storms and disorder. So, once again, Moses comes and says, let my people go. He obviously doesn't, and the locusts appear. Now, one interesting point here, and this is what really spoke to me when I was reading this, is Moses prayed to the Lord. So when Pharaoh says, oh, look, please stop the plague, stop the plague. Moses prayed to the Lord to stop the plague. And that's when God stopped the plague. It was through Moses' prayer. Yep. He wouldn't have done it if Moses didn't pray. So the significance of our prayers is just awesome. You know, one, God listens when we pray, doesn't he? You know, he listened to Moses. That's just awesome, isn't it? You know, God listens to us. He loves to hear your voice. So look, I get up in the morning and sometimes I'm like, oh God, I don't feel like praying. Sometimes you just get, you know, the world, you get depressed, you get anxiety, you get anxious, you just get frustrated. You know, been there, done it, got the t-shirt, and you're kind of like, and I say, oh God, I don't feel like praying. You know, can't even muster myself sometimes. But that's the very thing that starts me in prayer. I'm just being honest with God. But I say, God, you know. Yeah, you're the God who answers prayer. Amen. And then we start praying. And I tell him my troubles, tell him my sorrows. Isn't that what he wants us to do, is it? If you tell him, just give him your troubles, give him your sorrows. So Matthew 11:28-30 says this, and this is the Wycliffe version. I like the Wycliffe version. It says, all you that travail and be charged, come to me, and I shall fulfill you, or I shall refresh you. I like that. He says, come to me, and I will what? Refresh you. And we can do it with a bit of refreshment, amen? You know, on a hot day, there's nothing like a nice, cool glass of water, and you feel refreshed, don't you? Yeah, and you know, in the trials that we face and the places that we're at, where we find ourselves at, you know, just find yourselves refreshed. Yeah, let him refresh you. Let him be your refreshment. Amen. He says, and learn ye of me, for I am mild and meek in heart, and ye shall find rest to your souls. For my yoke is soft, and my charge is light and easy. Amen. That's good, isn't it? And I like David's prayer, Psalms 142, verse 1, starts this. When he was in the den, with my voice I cried to the Lord, with my voice I prayed heartily to the Lord. And he just prayed heartily to God. He just put his face down and said, God, I'm in this place of darkness. He was in a den. He was running away. He had his fears, he had his troubles, but you know what? He trusted in God. That's why David is such the great king that he is, because he trusted in his God. So let's be a people that what? Trust in God. Amen? Trust. K Cast your cares upon him because he cares for you. All right, plague number 9, the sun god. So this is the plague of darkness. That's what would rise the sun god. And God wanted to tell Egypt, says, hey, I am the god of the stars and the moons. I'm the one that conducts everything. And so there was darkness for 3 days. Now, funny that there was darkness for 3 hours when Jesus died on the cross. So let me go to death 10, the plague, death of the firstborn of Egypt. And this is a representation of Pharaoh himself, because Pharaoh thought himself to be his own god. Yep. And bow down to worship him. And Moses said to Pharaoh after this declaration of death of the firstborn, says, thus says the Lord, about midnight will I go into the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die. From the firstborn of Pharaoh that sits upon the throne, even unto the firstborn of the maidservant that is behind the mill, and all the firstborn of the beast, there shall be a great cry throughout the land, such as there was none like it, nor shall be like it any more. So, to make it short, Exodus 12, 3 through 7, Exodus 12, 12 through 13, we won't read it, but so God gives Israel an instruction to say, this is how you're going to do, this is what you need to do to avoid this last plague. The death angel was going to strike. Yep. There's no stopping the death angel. Yep. There's nothing can stop it. It is going to happen. It is going to take place. So God told Moses to tell the people, he says, look, you take a lamb and you cook the lamb, and by the blood of the lamb, you then take a brush and you paint the doorposts and the lintel, which is the top, with the blood of the lamb. Yep. And he says to the people, he says, when the death angel comes, when he sees the blood, he says, then he will pass over. That's why it's the Passover. So the options are this. Yep, if he sees the blood, he will pass over. If he doesn't see the blood, the death angel will strike, and death will take place. Yep. Option A, option B. Does that make sense? So everybody likes movies, yep, TV in every household. So let's pretend, let me take you to a movie set, shall we? Yep. We go in, we see, Goshen, we see Israelites, the death angel is coming, and, dark clouds coming, and he's hovering, and he's going to about descend upon the nation. And he comes to the first door, and he sees there's a person just gently praying and crying and weeping. Yep. And just being sorrowful for the things they've done, sorrowful for the things that they said, just sorrowful. But when we look at the scene, there's no blood on the doorpost or the lintel. There's none whatsoever. And so the death angel strikes. Because you see, every religion prays. Everybody prays. You can be sorrowful. But what happens is if you don't have the blood, if you're not covered by the blood, the death angel strikes. Well, let's go to the second house. The second house, we see the second house. And upon the second house, we see there's the Ten Commandments on the doorposts. Yeah, it's there as you enter. And when you come in, it's very nice and clean and tidy. Well, Hamza says, there's no blood on the outside of the house, on the doorpost. And you think, why wasn't there no blood on the doorpost? Because what we think is, we think we'll be all right if God sees our good deeds and our bad deeds. And if our good deeds outweigh our bad deeds, then we're going to be okay. We're going to go to heaven. We think that, don't we? We know people that think that. Yeah? But it's not true. If I follow the Ten Commandments, well, we don't follow the Ten Commandments. That's just it. Yep. And the death angel strikes. Cry no more. Let's go to the third house. The third house. the last house the death angel comes to. Yep. You kind of look in, we peer in the window, and behold, there's the lamb. The lamb is cooked. Yep. The lamb is, eaten in the prescribed manner. And there is the blood. It's in a bowl. And the brush is in the bowl. But the brush is never applied to the doorpost and the lintel of the house. And my friends, I'm telling you now, we can come to church. Yep. We can take part of the lamb. We can take, eat the bread and the wine like we did today and still miss out on heaven. Yep. We can play religion. We can play games with God, try to appease God, try to, go to church, be at church, we're there. But if the blood of Jesus isn't in your heart and life, death will strike you down. Does that make sense? There's no playing games with God. Now, look, this is very serious stuff. So you understand. So in Revelation, let's go into the New Testament, Revelations and the church. When God talks about the seven churches, and we use that, and we see in the seven churches, he's knocking on the door. He's knocking outside the door of the church. And what is his words? His words is, "Will you let me in? Will you let me in?" Yep. So here we are in church. Yep. And he says, "Will you let me in your heart and life? Will you be Lord? Will you remember your first love?" Amen. Remember your first love. That's what I like about giving my testimony. When I give my testimony, I remember my first love. Oh, that's how I got saved. Yes, it's fantastic. Amen. It's pretty daunting, really, isn't it? And so the blood of Jesus that was crucified 2,000 years ago is the same representative of the Passover, you see, because he died on the Passover. He was our Passover lamb to make a way for us so that we could receive the forgiveness of sin. So we can receive, it's not even the forgiveness of sin. There's so much. It's like you receive the forgiveness of sin, make him Lord of your life, the fears, the doubts. He heals us emotionally. That's just fantastic, isn't it? And that's just the start. But it starts with Jesus. Amen? So the good news is God has called us out of Egypt. So the question for you this morning is what's holding you back this morning? What's holding you back from hearing God's call out of Egypt? Is it your sinful nature? Is it the things that you've done in your past? The mistakes that you've made? The past that haunts you? There's a barrier that you come time and time again. You know what I'm saying? Look, I'm speaking to Christians. Yeah. There's a barrier that comes time and time again. Look, sometimes what your mom and dad did to you, people never overcome. So look, some of you are the older generation, some of you young, some of the middle, but look, some of you, they never overcome, yep, what your mom, dad did to you. Yep. Doubts, fears. Let's be real. My dad was an alcoholic. I know exactly what I'm talking about. Yep. Abandoned. But God has called us out of Egypt to never go back. Yep. So all those things that haunt you, the past hurts, the past, things that have happened to you, even in the family. The family life are tremendous scars and wounds. But God has called us out of Egypt. Don't hang on to them. Yep. He's called you not to hang on to them. Yeah. Your parents probably loved you as best as they could for what they could, what they had, and with what they've known. They just passed on the junk that they was passed on to them, and probably a few things on more on top of that. But we are Christians. Yep. We're covered by the blood of the Lamb. And God says, look, you know what? I've called you out of Egypt. I've called you into the new, not the old. So don't hang on to the old life. Grasp what God has for you in the new life. Does that make sense? Yeah. And there's no reason to go back there again. I find that very liberating. I was speaking, God spoke to me about this morning. He says, you know what? I don't have to go back to Egypt. What a blessing. You know, these things that affect our minds, that affect our hearts. And God says, you don't have to go back to Egypt. Yep. He says he called us out. Yep. Which is good news. I'll tell you what. He heals them. For the love of Jesus puts you on a journey of faith. Is that true? You know, and that is the journey of faith that we find ourselves in right now. Amen? It's because he calls us from glory to glory, from strength to strength. You know, when he called them out, there was more things to conquer, wasn't there? There were more things for them to be dealt with. So, you know, I do love the Exodus story. You know, they come to Meribah, yeah, and it deals with bitterness. How many people have ever been bitter? Yeah. Just had the stung of defilement. Yeah. And so he deals with the bitter waters of his people. And he just takes them on the journey, the conquest. And God reveals to him every time a conflict happens, he reveals, I am the Lord your banner, doesn't he? Come on. Jehovah Rapha, the God that healeth thee. And so we are in a journey. And so in that journey, trust in God. Yep. He's not finished with you yet. He's got plans and purposes for your lives. He's got victories for you to overcome. He's got things for you in store for you that only you can do because it's your relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen? It's your relationship. You talk to him. He'll guide you. When you don't feel like talking, talk to him. Amen? Just like David said, God, I'm in this place. Help me out. And he does. And he hears. Just like he heard Moses. He hears us. It saddens us when we don't talk to him. Yeah? Because he loves to hear your voice. He likes to hear it. It's amazing, isn't it? You know, to think, really, does he like to hear me? You know, like does he, you know, do you know who I am? You know, he doesn't, you know, does he? When I first got saved, like, I don't think he has time for me. You ever thought that? Yeah. Does God have time for me? He does. God has time for you. What the problem is we just don't make time for him. Yeah? That's more the truth of the story. But when we make time for him, and it's just a wonderful, wonderful relationship that God guides us to his wonderful victory, and his mercies are new each day. You know, I do like that song. His mercies are new each day. Yeah, that's the song? You know the song? His mercies are new. Because yesterday's mercies aren't good enough. Does that make sense? So you got to have new mercies today. Yeah, so if you want to maintain the victory, you just got to maintain those new mercies every day. You're reading the Bible, the prayer. Yep, because I say, God, your mercies were yesterday, your victories are yesterday, aren't good enough for today's victories. I need new mercies today. Amen? Amen. And he will take you to the promised land. So, and look, this whole span, you could preach for hours and hours. So, you know, this isn't our home. Amen. He's taken us to the promised land. He's taken you to the promised land also. Amen. Which is heaven because of the blood of Jesus. All right. Thank you very much. Again, over there. Thank you. Thank you. Amen.